This is Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. Jim Broadway publishes the Illinois School News Service. It's a subscription-based online newsletter for educators, documenting policy as it's crafted and implemented at the state level. I asked him to walk me through some education bills that came before the 99th General Assembly. We talked about some that became law and some that didn't. You've been at this a lot longer than I have, so let's talk about what went through the State House this year. And, you know, obviously the school funding formula is the giant issue. So, So let's save that for the end.
Okay, sure.
Okay, we'll have our dessert first, and then we'll eat our vegetables.
Well, there was a good bit of legislation. At the end of the session, there was a film clip I saw of Governor Rauner, and he was just sort of shaking his head, and he just, a stunning failure. They did nothing this year at all, and you know, actually, they passed like 400 and something bills, most of which he's signing into law, it appears to me. And there were maybe 35 or 40 bills that are directly related to public education. There was legislation that expanded the school district's permission to maintain stocks of epinephrine, a drug that's administered to students who've had an allergic reaction or for some other reason are in shock.
So EpiPens is what we're talking about.
Right, EpiPens. They expanded that to also include companies that provide school transportation so that the drivers could have some doses on the bus in case somebody had a problem. And that bill, Michelle Mussman's bill, it really rode on the really wonderful testimony from a woman from Elmhurst or somewhere up in the suburbs whose daughter had died of a kind of shock because the first responders to her problem, they didn't have this medication and they didn't know how to administer it. So this bill expands the permission to maintain stocks of this prescription drug that are undesignated to include the state police and the local police department first responders. It also makes references to the availability of training for them to use. It's not a very complicated thing, and there's clips on YouTube all over the place.
So it was a bill in response to a tragedy, and I'm sure that in your years of covering the State House, you've seen many of those, like on suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the concussion bill that went through this year is another one.
Yes, and the legislation on concussions has been progressively strengthened each year or so for the last 4 or 5 years. There's reasons for that, too. The Nightline documentaries on the National Football League's, the lawsuits and the death of some famous football players.
I got to say, not Nightline, Frontline.
Frontline.
PBS.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But anyway, that just drew people's attention to it. I started writing about it a few years ago, and I just, you know, I kind of suggested that schools ought to get out of the business of football and just kind of stick with education. Anyway, so there was a lot of legislation that was designed to protect kids in situations, as there is every year, actually. One of the things that I talk about when I make presentations is that legislation doesn't come out of nowhere. These people are not just there in Springfield trying to figure out what that they can put into law. It all emerges from either significant events that are in the news or situations that are brought to them by constituents, or problems that are obvious all the time and they're always struggling to find solutions to them.
And some people are even put into office on a wave of popular sentiment about a certain issue. I think Representative Will Guzzardi, the Democrat from Evanston, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
I think he came into office in large part due to support from more than a score.
Oh, yeah.
And so we saw some legislation about that, or we actually saw a decision by the State Board of Education about the PARC test, right?
Right. That's right. The More Than a Score group and a group called Raise Your Hand. Also, there was a lot of controversy about the park test. And my own take on it was that if it could be implemented as it was described by the folks who designed it, it could have some wonderfully positive impact on public education. But it was fairly clear to me that it wasn't going to be able to be done that way, because to do it right requires a lot more money than the state would ever want to spend. And the other part, of course, was that it became controversial politically. People aligned themselves with either party when the Obama administration came out in such strong support of the Common Core state standards, which the administration had nothing to do with creating, but did endorse and did link to rewards that could come in the form of grants through the Department of Education. Now, that just polarized the whole issue. And from my experience of watching governments work for the last several decades, it was really clear to me that Common Core and things associated with it, like PARC, were poisoned and not going to work.
Well, educators I've talked to, and I don't want to get way off on this subject, but
sure.
Educators that I've talked to, they've told me that they like the curriculum. They like the Common Core concept.
Yes.
They don't like the PARC test. And I think maybe that's why we've seen Common Core rebranded. Like here we call it Illinois Learning Standards. Mm-hmm. We don't call it Common Core, but it's the same thing, right?
It is. Yeah, it's very close. And other states are doing that as well. Illinois' learning standards were first developed in the mid-90s as the learning standards against which, or aligned to which, the there were several names for the assessment. ISAT, I-something. But anyway, the standards have been around for a long time, but they've been modified, I believe, to look closer to like the Common Core. The thing that I've heard from educators that excites them the most is the shift away from the rote memorization of content and into a process in which the kids would be guided into the process of critical thinking. Because, you know, and that makes so much sense. Because if you can do some critical thinking, then you can learn on your own. You can learn things by figuring out from point to point, whereas otherwise you just have to go to a lecture, I guess. It's made teaching exciting again for the educators that talk to me about it.
So I guess we should go ahead and talk about the funding formula. I lost track of how many different proposals there were to change the funding formula for public schools in Illinois. None of those passed. But the stopgap appropriation bill, you know, the portion of it that funds mm-hmm. public preschool through 12th grade.
Right.
It did change. It did have a different layer of distribution for those funds, right?
That's right, yes. Yeah, there was a couple hundred million dollars devoted to a poverty grant that was to be used for the districts that had the greatest need in those respects. I believe there was a hold harmless so that any changes in the distribution wouldn't take any school district below the level that they previously received in state support.
So what does that tell you about why none of the bills targeted at changing the formula passed, and yet there was a sort of change of the formula?
Well, what it tells me is that the leadership, which they've always known, and Governor Rauner knows that the disparity in resources from one school district to another has passed by the level of morality. You know, they weren't solving the problem, and they knew that, but they were mitigating it somewhat in anticipation of the grand bargain, you know, after the elections. And the reason why it has to happen after the elections, if at all, is because there's massive new revenue involved in addressing an issue of this magnitude. I kind of believe it's likely to occur now.
So you believe that there will be a new school funding formula after November?
Yes, I do. I believe in a new school funding formula and new sources of revenue for the state for education and other purposes. The state is got huge obligations and it's broke. And, you know, Rauner knows that and all the leaders know that. And what the Republicans would like would be for the Democrats just to pass the bills with their own votes. But that's not going to happen, of course. So what has to happen is a grand bargain. It has to be a policy package that is agreed to by the governor and the leaders of the chambers and the minority leaders of the chambers to some extent, because it's not just the schools. But to do Senate Bill 231 or anything like it in ways that have the effect that are intended would require $1.5 billion, $2 billion more dollars than is currently going to public education.
The evidence-based model wants $5 billion spread over 10 years.
$5 billion in addition to what's going on now.
Right.
So that there's about $7 billion going now, and there's and so within 10 years it goes up to $12
billion? With a B.
With a B. So, yes, huge dollars. However, that's just a piece of the puzzle. The other piece of the puzzle is the pile of unpaid bills that's going to reach $10 billion by the end of this fiscal year. And another big pile of it is the $111 billion in unfunded liability of the pension systems. It's probably greater than that now. So the state is in deep trouble financially. The reason why I think that a school funding formula change will come about is because the public has been made aware by the efforts of Senator Menar and Advance Illinois and Funding Illinois' Future and other organizations for the last couple of years. So people will sit still for revenue increases that a few years ago they would have gone crazy about.